We left off on the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Siman Aleph. And the Gemara had just established that there is Dam Tohar and Dam Tameh. Okay. So now, the Gemara wants to know a very basic question. You have a shamash too. That's not yours? Well, Mr. Ambrose, this is yours somehow. Have you been looking for it? Send it back to him. So the Gemara now asks, how do we know what is the color of blood? How do we know why some dam is tame and why some dam is tahar? Mr. Younger, can I ask you to pick up in the Gemara?
Again?
Have you done it really recently? You can read. Okay. You can take a pass. Evan, go ahead. Starting with Omimai. In the Vilna Shas, it's about six lines from the bottom. Six lines from before they get wide. Okay, so now we know there's such a thing as a Dam Tohar and Dam Tameh, but how do you know that these colors are, basically, how do you know that blood is red? In some level, it's the answer to the question is obvious, but nonetheless. Okay, in the story of Yehuda Yisrael and Edom against Moab. So Moab sees the water, and it looks, they think it's blood, and they make a mistake. So anyway, you see from that, obviously, that blood is red, as if you needed a pasuk. Fine. Maybe it only means red, like the red of blood. And later, remember that the Mishnah said the definition of Adom is Kedam Hamaka. And the Gemara later will say, basically, that's Adom is the color of blood, as we normally expect it to be. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay. Dameh hare kan arba. You have v'hi gilsas nekar dameha and v'ta ramim kar dameha. Dameh is plural, and a plural is never less than two, and therefore you have a total of four kinds of dam. Of course, leading to the next question. So we have five in the Mishnah. Now, the Yerushalmi, by the way, has the same passage, and they just quote another pasuk, like Ki Azov Zov Damah Yamim Rabim. So you have a fifth type of blood. There's also a sheet in the Yerushalmi. Well, read it. Read it. What's the Bavli's answer? What's the answer they quote? Black is really red. Ela shalaka. It seems like a pretty strange statement initially, but it's actually not as odd as you think. Why might someone think that? Why might it almost that be possibly true, sort of? Yeah, I mean, look at a scab. I mean, I don't know if it's quote black, but you can see the blood, what was bright red, I don't know if it's some combination with the oxygen in the air, and it turns very dark. The Yerushalmi quotes an interesting theory, I think it's the name of Shmuel, that actually black is a combination of all the four colors. Okay, again, I'm not sure how that works on the spectrum, but there is such a similar type of answer given in the Yerushalmi that something happened to this color, but fundamentally it's blood. But the Yerushalmi has another sheet that is that there's a fifth dam, dam, and that's black. Fine. Tanya Nami Hachi. Shachar is kecheres. Cheres is what the Mishnah describes as something related to ink. Okay. Amok mikan. Okay, if it's deha, if it's dimmer than that, and I don't know what it colors, kahol, we normally think kahol is what? Blue. So I assume it means something, in other words, blue doesn't look black, but if you take very dark colors of blue, navy blue, you can start to get close to black. So it has to be as dark, as black as Cheres is. Okay, v'shachar zon, and this is the reason, v'shachar zon, why is it quote, what's this price to prove? V'shachar zon.
Lo mitzchilato hu mashkir, ela kashenekar hu mashkir.
It's not originally black, but it turns black. Mashal.
Mashal adam maka, v'kashenekar
Nekar humashkir. That sounds like a scab. Sounds like blood when it heals. So when you get something very dark on the skin. Okay. So the Mishnah has established that there are only five kinds of dam, five colors of blood which are actually considered dam tameh, and beyond that, all other colors are tahor. Now I don't know if we started to talk about this question yesterday, but one very obviously, I guess we did the talk about the range of red. It leads us to a very strange situation in which if you take the spectrum of red and you would identify, you know, part of it is Karen Karkom and part of it is Mazuk and part of it is Meme Adama and part of it is Adam, you'd somehow have gaps. You'd have to draw lines and say that, you know, starting here until here is Tameh. Then you have some type of a gap, which is Tahor, then starting here, again, it's Tameh for a certain range, and then Tahor, and then Tameh, and then Tahor, and Tameh. If you don't say that, then obviously the Mishnah should have just given either the top and the bottom, or should have just given the bottom and said that anything that is redder than the following is red, and that should be sufficient. It sounds like, I mean, you really have to have some kind of tremendous bekias for this. Now, most of us probably don't have that. If people specialize in color, this might be more meaningful to people actually specialize in color. You know, you and I look at a color and say, we say that that's red. But there are artists who will look at that and say, no, I can tell you exactly what shade of red that is.
Right, you're looking at it as though it's a smooth spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, they might not have seen it that way. Like, if you have red paint and you put blue in it, you may never be able to get it back to red.
No. That's fine, but what I'm saying is that you can have... You're right, you're correct. They may not have understood, although I'm not sure. I mean, Aruch HaShulchan already sort of understood it was a spectrum, and I don't think he had any physics education. And they were, by the way, able to see a spectrum, right? I mean, I don't know how much time they spent and how much they thought about it, but the spectrum was available to anybody to see as long as there were rainbows or, you know, water, you know, light being refracted through water or glass or something like that. So one wonders whether or not, even if they recognize, that one was, I would assume intuitively, one is redder than the other. But either way, when we look at it, basically we would be saying there are lots of colors, there are colors that are red, that are brighter than other colors, and you could pick A, B, and C, and A and C would both be Tameh, and B, which is somewhere in between in terms of the redness of it, would in fact be Tahar. And that requires an enormous degree of skill to be able to identify. And as you're not only identifying, is it red enough, but, you know, within the range, you know, what are these four colors of, what are these four shades of red, and is it in that range, or is it stuck somewhere in between? Yaakov, a question.
Isn't one of the problems, though, when someone examines blood, the time and the exposure to air
is... So you haven't gotten through all of the Gemara here, but that question is already addressed. And what is the Klal Gadol in Maros, in terms of time? That things do change over time, that's correct. What is the Klal Gadol? Ein l'dayin elamasha ein avroos. When the Chacham paskins the shayla, he looks at the blood as it is now. He doesn't say, well, maybe maybe it changed. It was brighter red earlier. He doesn't say, maybe if I wait, it will be less bright later. But rather, he paskins based upon where it comes to form. And it's true. In theory, it's possible, had the shayla been brought to him earlier, he would have paskin one way. Now the shayla is brought to him, now he paskins another way. Yeah, it's the way it is. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Go ahead. Beishamayomrim.
Beishamayomrim afke bimei talton. Kelesu beishamay
dameha. Dameha,
dameha. Harei kan arba.
Beishamay doesn't hold of that. Dameha, dameha. It's psukim. Presumably they have the same psukim as Beisela does. And therefore, why don't they darshan that way? Of course, you know that they darshan differently. Well, according to one explanation, the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Yeshem the Mikra, Yeshem the Masores, but nonetheless, presumably it should have the same drasha. So the Gemara gives two answers. No, they don't. Okay, so they don't hold to this drasha. It's not such a compelling drasha. V'ibay esema. But me.
Me lo. Amar Rihanina shachor adamu. Ela shalaka.
Sahachanami.
Nami malka udalaka.
So same thing here. Just as we say, Ruchanina said that black is really red, but it turned black, laka. It was literally smitten. So too, these shades of red are really one of the other shades, but they something happened to them internally. This is not something that happens, Yaakov, after they leave the body, but rather something that happened internal, an internal process. And therefore, Beis Shammai says these are really belong to the other families of red. Okay, Uvei Silo Metaharin. So the Gemara says immediately, you had the Tanakhama who said that our Hamisha Damun Tmei Be'isha. Beis Shammai comes along and adds two. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says these two are tahar, which means how many maros dam tamei Beis Hillel left with? Chesky?
Four.
Five. Hamisha Dayi. I know what you meant. They're left with five, which means it's the same exact same opinion as Tanakhama. So the Gemara says. Litlos. Now I want to thank Zach, and I assume Hillel's also behind this also, wherever you are. Hillel, is Hillel here? Where's Hillel? Not here at the moment. Okay. For bringing this to my attention, I would never thought of it. After you read things a certain number of times, you start paying attention to words. You just see them in their context. And the word tolin has a number of different meanings, even in the context of nida. Typically, when we talk about tolin, it may be in the context of ksamim. An isha can be tola, the stain came from X, came from Y. In other words, the word we use in English is to attribute, or you hang it on something else. Here, tolin takes on the meaning that it finds often in the context of tumah v'tahara. You have three kinds of truma. You have truma, which is tahora, you have truma, which is tameya, and you have truma, which is taluya. What is taluya? Safek. In English, we would probably use the term pending, as opposed to attributing. And taluy means it's a safek. It's hanging. The question is still hanging. So the Gemara here uses it in this context. Ika benayu litlos. The Tanakhama says. Now, who says which, by the way? If I tell you that Tanakhama and Beis Hillel disagree about whether it's a safek, then look at the formulations and what would you say? Who says which way? Without even reading Rashi, you can figure it out. Ellie?
Tanakhama is the safek.
Okay, why do you say that?
Because they don't say the
Tarek. Yeah, in other words, the Tanakhama says, Hamisha damin tnei be'isha. It doesn't say maybe the other things that are safek, but in response to Beis Shammai saying, these two are tmei, Beis Hillel mitaharin, so that's not a safek. Okay. It's not Pshuto Shel Mishnah. But nonetheless, as I mentioned before, whenever you get this Tanakhama and Chacham and Basra, the Bavli always tries to find an afkamina beinehem. Just as when the Mishnah gives Zeha Klal, the Bavli always thinks that the Zeha Klal is marba something else, except from one place where it fails to find something. Yes, Emmanuel.
Why? Just going back, if we're okay with our projecting and saying people don't hold up the drasha, why don't we just say, give that as a possibility for the five types of blood in the Mishnah?
Because if we're able to find the solution, we prefer to find the solution. Besides which, in other words, but everybody, I'd say better, Emmanuel, everybody seems to agree that at least these five are tmei. Nobody argues on black. So if the source of the drasha is damel damel, that's all the Gemara has, that's all the Gemara thinks is relevant, so then what do you do with black? Now the Yerushalmi has two solutions. One is like this, which says the black is somehow related to the other four colors, and the other is to say, no, there's another pasuk. But the Bavli seems to assume that the other pasuk isn't relevant. And therefore, these are the only two psukim. These are the only two psukim that have the word makor and dam in the same pasuk, because these are the only two psukim in the Torah that have the word makor. And therefore, all you have from the makor is dameha, dameha. Okay? Okay. Fine. I think at this point, we skipped. Where did we skip to? Did we skip yet or no?
Yeah.
Oh, we did. I know. We still did Hayyaruk. I don't know if I gave you Hayyaruk. Okay. So read
Hayyaruk. Akavya ben Mahalo Ndame. The list of Akavya Damea Damea. Harekan Arba.
So it's the exact same thing approaches before. You buy his name.
Let's say Bonus Milo, Amar
Bechanina. Milo, Amar Bechanina, Shachar, the Mashalaka. No, so again, I wonder what this green is, because this yellow green, because the truth is, as I mentioned yesterday, it seems the obvious candidate for it is mucus. That's I don't know what vaginal mucus exactly looks like, but if it looks like mucus from the rest of the body, then presumably the yellow green color is something that would make a whole lot of sense. But they may not have understood it as being different from dam. Okay, but we don't paskin like a kavya, so it's not a problem. What's that? Well, I mean, it's again, blood is not going to be that color, but people are going to be seeing the same things. Right? Most of the funny colors are probably a result of mucus. Mucus and blood, or mucus. What?
You made him as if it was pale or something. I'm not sure.
I know that it's on my homework. I have to sort of find the block of time to sit down and read. There's something very interesting that's going to come up in our Gemara that I'm sure he talks about. It's pretty obvious. The story on Chafam Abayz. But okay. Now, how do we paskin, by the way? I'm sorry. Next line is. Same type of question. The Chachamim Metaren against Akavya. So the answer is? So apparently the Gemara presents that the Tanakam and the Mishnah holds that there are Chamisha Dam and Vaday Tmeim, and then there are three other Maros which are Suffolk. Kimi Me Tilson. What was Shammai's second one? Kimi Me Basar Tzli and Yarok. So how do we paskin? Important. That's a very important question. It's an important question. The red part is not important, because as you all know, we don't do maros of red anymore. But the green is really important. But ultimately, we paskin that it's tahar, vaday. It's not tolui. So we paskin that basically, in practice, anything that's red, we treat as tame, that has redness in it of any kind. Anything that does not have redness in any kind, we do not treat as tame. With the exception of black. Black and red are tameim, green, blue, yellow, brown, I think is also treated as not, and white are all maros tahoros. Okay, even brown. The Aruch HaShulchan, I think, talks about that. Okay, fine. From here, we now move to where? Ezu Kedah Adam. I hope I had you skip there. What's the next piece? Okay, fine. I had you read Rabbi Yossi. That's right. Rabbi Yossi Omer, this is for your moral fortification, not because there's any impact upon the sugya. Although, in theory, it does. The Ramban talks about it just in terms of how we paskin. I told you how we paskin, Rabbi Yossi. Don't worry about it. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi comes back and argues with Rabbi Meir, who at least gets involved in some dialogue over Akavya ben Mahalalel's green, or Yorok, whatever that is. Okay. So how come Ashmalan? Man Tanakama? Telling you that, in other words, this basically defeats the whole general approach of saying that there is that the Tana Basra, the Chachamim Basra, is another opinion.
That's why you assigned it.
What's that?
No.
But the truth is, the answer that's given here can only be used once. They could have given this answer for Beis Hillel too. They could have said, "Kamash Malat Tanakam is Beis Hillel, Kol Amar Darav Shem Omer, maybe Gula Ola." But they didn't. I can probably give you reasons why they didn't as well. But bottom line is, so the answer is called Omer Davar B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam. And in the modern context, if you're not Omer Davar B'Shem, in the contemporary context, you're not Omer Davar B'Shem Omer, you violated plagiarism. Okay. Anyway, Chazal only say. I won't say more than five words on this, but this obviously is the one of the few sources in Chazal for intellectual property, except that in Chazal's terms it only has moral ramifications, called Omer Davar B'Shem Omer, because financial ramifications were relevant. Financial ramifications of intellectual property only become relevant once you have a printing press, and ideas and writing can be reproduced in mass cheaply, where you can actually make a profit off your particular idea or your words. In the time of Chazal, aside from the fact that it probably wasn't even written, it was oral, there was no money to be made from it either way, and therefore it's really expressed as moral opprobrium for someone who fails to properly cite. Okay. Anyway. Fine. Continue. Okay. Like when you do shechita on an ox, that blood that comes out initially is red. That's the color. That is proto red. That is the ur red. Okay. Were you reading from the Gemara or from my thing?
I think you skipped it.
That's why I want you to. I don't want to take the time now to read the parts that I had you skip because I had you skip it for a reason. So go ahead. So I think I took you down to Amar of Nachman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Rav Nachman Amar. All right. So he says like blood from the, when you bloodlet.
Maisa vitala, Rabbi Meir bekilor.
Bekilor.
Bekilor. Rabbi tala besarav shekama.
Okay, so they were tola on different things, and the assumption of the Gemara in the question is that means that adom is much broader spectrum than just exactly dam shor shachot, even things that are no near as red as that. Kilor is usually some type of a compress, some kind of a concoction that you would put in a compress, I think. Rashi says it's not quite as red as adom. And Sraf Shikma, which I wasn't able to get full information, but it's the sap of a sycamore tree, which apparently is sticky and smelly and really a pain to deal with, and there's lots of it. In one picture, but I wasn't sure it was a sycamore tree, but the label of the picture was like blood sap, because it really looked like drops of blood. It was pretty wild. So apparently these are not, at least the picture was actually as red as blood, although there were two shades in the picture, two different lines, one of which was more like orange. So the Gemara says, if they were tola on these things, then, and what is tola, so what does tola mean here? This is the other tola. What's that? Ksamim. In other words, a woman had a kesem, and the question was, could that kesem have come from sycamore sap, or whatever kilor is? And Rebbe was tola on that. And Rebbe was tola in one case, Rebbe was tola in another case. So, and those are not as red as blood. So you see that adom, or adom, you know, is not as, only at the initial damakan, as the initial blood is redder. So how is it that they were tola on it? It must mean that adom is actually a broader range. So the answer is pretty obvious. My lava adom. In other words, they weren't concerned that kesem was adam. They were concerned that kesem was kikeren karkom, or that kesem was, you know, kemazag or kememe adama. Okay, fine. Umana. An umana in the Gemara Stam is a bloodletter. Now, we don't do bloodletting, I think, has generally been discredited, although leeches have not been discredited. Leeches of the actual variety kind. They're good anti-inflammatories, actually. I'm not recommending that's what you do. You could take ibuprofen, but that aspect of medicine has actually been revisited. But I don't think bloodletting has been. And bloodletting, I think, relates to like the theory of the four humors and the need to balance things. I think bloodletting, we bloodlet just so that you can donate blood, but other than that, we avoid it. But anyway, for them, it was a standard practice of medicine. So the umana went and go to an umana. Shaklilei. Sounds like they used to like do multiple bleeds. So he took the first one of Amemar, and then Amemar looked at that color.
Adom
Ditzanan Kihai. The blood in the Mishnah, the red in the Mishnah, the Adom, that's this color. Then he did another thing from Amemar. Ishtani. The color has changed. This is not the same color. He said, I, who can't tell the difference between these two shades of red that I may even pointed at, I'm not supposed to be in the business of seeing Maras. Now Rav Ashi is a last in a long line of Amoraim who expressed their discomfort at an expertise in distinguishing between reds. Okay. Fine. Next. Did I have you do the Gemara? Or did I have you skip again? You skipped into the middle of the sugya, and now I want to talk about the question of how exactly does one look at colors? Because as you know, that light and sunlight will have an effect upon the way your eye perceives the color. If you take the red and you put it against a white backdrop, that will have one effect. If you take the red and you put it against the gray backdrop, it'll have a different effect. If you put it against the blue backdrop, it will have a third effect. So the question is, how are you supposed to look at the maros of damim? So the Gemara says, skipping down, if you're looking in the Gemara, to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, I believe.
Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
When you want to be bodek, the shades of red, you put it up against a white cloth. Meaning you take the stain, you fold it in such a way that you're going to put it, you remove the background of the stain, and you put it up against a white cloth. That probably is why, although I don't know if maybe this is said explicitly, bedika cloths are done using white. So then you don't need another matlas levana. If the chacham is going to look at something, he's looking at it against a matlas levana. Okay, that's what Shmuel said. It seems like a reasonable suggestion. Means? What does that mean?
The red.
What does v'shachar al gabe adom mean? If you have a black stain to look at, you put it up on red, a red cloth. Okay, I don't know what the exact effect of that is, but okay.
Also,
how do you what?
How do you know where the red cloth? Maybe
I presume Adam. I assume you got a red cloth. Okay.
Continue.
So he wants to say initially there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yitzchak and Shmuel. One's talking about red, one's talking about black. Then the Gemara says, Maskif la Ravashi. No, they're arguing it's by black. And Shmuel says that even black is looked at against white, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi says that it's looked at against red. Okay, we paskin like Shmuel. Fine. Okay, in other words, all of these what? What does that mean, kulon? All the shades of red in the Mishnah. If it is brighter, a brighter red than that shade, within that family,
then it's
tameh. And if it is dimmer, and it's within that family, in other words, if it's a keren karakom, but if it's in the range of keren karakom, but dimmer than keren karakom, it's tahar. If it's in the range of keren karakom, but brighter than keren karakom, it's tameh. And that is kishachar. What does that mean? No. What does kishachar mean, Jake?
The same principles. It's like that same principle I use with black.
Right. The Mishnah only told us the principle by black. The question is why? What about by red? So first we have Ula saying that it applies to all of them. So now, of course, there's an obvious question. If it applies to all of them, what? Mark, what did you say?
Why is black
singled out by the Mishnah? So. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us? Why does it tell us specifically by black? El Shalaka. Since we know that black is not really the color of the blood, it's changed. Hilkach, you would have thought. So you would have thought that even duller then the Shachar Kecheres would also be Tameh. Now, by the other colors of red, it's obvious that since we strive for being red, if it's brighter, it's more red within that family. But if it's dimmer, maybe it's not. So that's intuitive. But by black, he would have thought, since black is a color that's changed completely anyway from what it was originally, it doesn't matter whether it's Amok or Deah, both ways will be Tameh. So Kamashul on the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah had to tell you by black, but of course, it's obvious that it applies by the others. That's one sheet in the Amorim. Next.
Rabbi Yami Baraba Amar, Bechulan Amok Mikain Tameh, Diamikain Namitai Chutmi Shachor.
Oh, so he says that, no, there's a reason why the Mishnah told you by black, because the din is exactly the opposite. That by all the other Maros, if it's in the family, whether it's duller or brighter, it's still Tameh. But by black, only if it's brighter, not if it's duller. Now, if that's the case, at least the... So this raises an immediate question. Well, what? Well, then the Gemara. I'm sorry. Then the Mishnah says, "Ella."
Ella, Maya Hani Shirei Derabanan Dafukei Dia Didia.
So what's going on here? What's the Gemara's question?
It's what red if on top of the dimmer it's even more.
What is the Gemara's question? Maya Hani Shirei Derabanan, Mark.
because if it's going to be tamei, whether it's dull or I guess sharper than red, then what's the point of having four different shades of red?
So you have to, something you have to fill in an assumption here. The assumption of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, is that these four shades of red encompass the entire spectrum of red. And as we can label part of the red spectrum is mazug, and part is meimei adama, and part is what? Karen karakum, thank you. And part is adam. And you could take each spectrum, and the middle, the definition of that spectrum is the middle is the color mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, if you say that brighter is tame, dollar is tahar, so basically what you'd have is sort of eight sections. Tahar, tame, tahar, tame, tahar, tame, tahar, tame. Right? And that's within each of the four sections that make up the spectrum of red, going from, again, whatever the lowest is, mazug, let's say, to adom, within each spectrum, you take the midpoint, each of those four sections, you take the midpoint, brighter than that is tame, duller than that is tahar. But if so, then it makes sense why the Chachamim need to koveya four maros. In other words, they're telling you how to divide up the spectrum. That's what the Gemara is assuming. However, if you assume that both brighter and duller are both tame, the way whoever that is just said, so then what?
Then you don't need two.
No, you wouldn't need two. It's one continuous spectrum now. It's all red.
Yeah, but you need the extremes.
Correct. Correct. You know, well, basically, all you really need to say is kemazug ulamala, and that's all you would need to say. Kemazug, you know, of any shade and lamala. But yeah, I would agree. You could say you need the end points. So that's what the Gemara's question is. According to the Shita that both brighter and duller is tamei, so then maya hani shud rabbanon, what's the point? So the Gemara, what's the Gemara's answer? Deha de deha? I mean, it's almost like mathematics of the spectrum, arithmetic of the spectrum. Deha de deha means no. It doesn't mean when we say it goes like, in other words, you can essentially, I would again do the following. It doesn't have to be this way arithmetically. Take any one quarter of this red spectrum. Take one mazug. Take the mazug. Mazug refers to the midpoint. Okay. Take on each side a mazug. Divide mazug into quarters. Mazug itself represents halfway. Anything brighter than mazug, the two quarters that are brighter than mazug, are tame. The quarter that is immediately duller than mazug is also tame. But the lowest quarter, the first quarter of each part of the spectrum, deha de deha, the dull of the dull, that's tahar. In other words, even this shita says that there's breaks in the spectrum. But you know, the way we presented it before, again, was that it's half and half. Here, no. Here it's one quarter, three quarters. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. But if you don't say that there's a part of that, part of the mazug, part of the Karen, part of the Meimei Adama, part of the Karen Karakum, part of the Adam, each one, there's a small part which is Tahar. If you don't have, then you don't have a break between the colors, in which case, Shira the Rabbanon, Maya Hani. So that's what the Gemara says. Okay, and finally, there's one more Shita here.
Bika Damri, Rabbi Baraba Amar, Rukul and Abba Mikan, Tahar Dia Tahar.
Okay, both of them. Okay, so the other version would say that no, quite contrary. It's really only the midpoint. Now, I'm just going to make a general observation in rabbinics, exactitudes. You know, I, when I say the midpoint, you can assume that even the midpoint of each color of the red is not a point. It's a little bit of a spectrum, right? Because if it's a point, how do you ever have it exactly? And this is a general question. You know what the principles call them, Chazal, this preoccupation with defining exact points? Anyone know? Chesky? No, that's the underlying logic. That might be the theology of this, but good. E'efshar l'tzamtzem. E'efshar l'tzamtzem. It's a question that comes up in many sugyas throughout Shas. The question of efshar l'tzamtzem or e'efshar l'tzamtzem. So yes, the situation where it's clearly assumed cheske that it's efshel etzamsem is klape shmaya, and so there, yes, lo netor lemalchei asharis. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. Okay, so here we have a total of four shitos, right? Of what the only thing that's clear according to all the shitos is that black, brighter is tame, duller is tahar. Then you have four shitos. One shita says that the same did applies by all the colors. Is only three shitos? Only three shitos. I'm sorry. It works out with three. Same thing applies. No, there are four. So the same thing applies by all the other colors. That's number one. Number two is that, no, by all the other colors, both brighter and duller are tame. It's only by black that duller is tahar. Number three is that by all the other colors, both brighter and duller are in fact tahar. It's only by black that brighter is tame. And number four is that the other colors have the same din as black with one exception. And that is mazuk.
How does he see that in the Mishnah?
I don't know.
You can understand that black is
one spoke
after the Mishnah.
That's a good question. One wonders, I didn't think about that question, and whether or not the continuation of the Gemara, in fact, in some ways is a response to it. So read the end of the Gemara.
Capra idale the doggy.
Adihule, they made it deha, they made it duller.
The doggy.
Okay.
Amikule,
they made it, showed him a brighter one.
The doggy.
And he was Matahir. That's how he paskins. Amar.
Amar Rikhanina. Kama Nafish Gavra Delavish Kamashmurte.
What did you read there?
Kama
Nafish Gavra De. Oh, they'll find it, because there are no multiple groups. The Libe? Okay. Asamav Kishmaitse. Basically, it seems that Chanina is praising him that he had the guts to actually follow his Shita. Okay, it's an interesting comment. One wonders whether or not it's reflective of the fact that, well, I don't think it's quite the same thing, because this requires a degree of confidence that's so great that it's probably unusual. Today we might argue that there's a lack of courage generally, but there's even a lack in courage of things that are more obvious. This is a, you know, lacking courage to make these fine distinctions. One can imagine how many people would, many fine, outstanding, upstanding people would lack the courage to make those distinctions. Bar Kappara was a very confident individual in his shmuos, in his traditions. I wonder if this is a comment about called kishmate, that he has some type of tradition, some type of shmua, because it doesn't seem to fit so well with the language of Mishnah. I don't know. I'm not sure, but your question's a good question. Mark points out, again, that the other three shitas all fit well in the Mishnah. Everything has the din of shachar, but you have to explain why is it mentioned by shachar. And then everything is more chamer than shachar, everything is more kal than shachar, are the other two shitas, and that's why shachar is singled out. Bar Kappara shita, why does he say, you know, if it applies to mazuk as well, why is shachar singled out? He would presumably say, like the first shita, that it really is only by, there's a hava mina that only be by shachar, and that's why the Mishnah tells it by shachar. It doesn't say anything by mazuk. I don't know, because in other words, all the Mishnahs tell, well, it still doesn't work so well. Okay, maybe we'll leave your question as is. Fine. Any questions so far? Keep going. Let's say, who wants to take over? Thank you, Evan. Who is going to, what brave volunteer is going to take over? Rafi, are you up to?
I wish my steward's father.
Okay. That's fair enough. Sit
in. I will. I get this far in preparation.
Go ahead. Give it a shot, since you're kind enough to volunteer.
Okay.
Yep. Just keep aware, because I only read the first part here. Go ahead.
Okay, Tanrabanan, Kimeme Adama. Maybe Adama Shmona because.
I suspect Shmena, I don't know Adana Shmena exactly is, but we don't pay any attention to dirt. Dirt is something that we get rid of. You know who pays attention to dirt?
Maybe just means fertile.
What?
Fertile.
Farmers. Shmena may very mean fertile, yes. Farmers know a lot about dirt. We see dirt as a hindrance, most of us. Farmers know a lot about dirt. I make that comment not in a vacuum. We'll see what's coming later. So, Adana Shmena probably means fertile soil. Mibikas beis kerem. Okay. What does he do? He makes water float on top of it. Okay. How do you know that metzif means to make float? You know the Hebrew word. Right? Tzaf al pnei mayim. Vayitzaf HaBarzel, Rashi likes to quote that all the time. Okay, so he makes water, he pours water on it, and the water is now floating on top. And what he'll end up doing is, basically, the Tanoim just now give you all the different places. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva Omer, I love this. Go ahead.
Yotvas.
That's a famous town, city mentioned by Josephus. Where was it that Josephus was captured?
Yucatan.
What? Yeah, it's the same town. Just the different spelling, but that's where Josephus was actually captured. I know most of you know Josephus as the one who wrote the history and kowtowed to the Romans, but he originally was part of the opposition. Okay, so anyway, Rabbi Yose Omer,
God, Sachli.
And Rabbi Shimon Omer,
Afni God, Kenusa,
right. Okay, now the reason for this, I think, obviously, is because what are you going to do if you don't live in that place? Right? I mean, it's a problem with the Yayin Mazug, what if you don't have Sharoni wine? But it's at least, you know, wine might have been naturally transported from one place to another and sold. People did not generally transport dirt. Although I think during the building boom of a few years ago, there's a big problem in the Caribbean islands of sand being stolen from beaches to make concrete. But back in the times of Tanaim, they didn't have means for transporting large volumes of dirt. So if you didn't live at near Beis Kerem, you had a problem if you had to check that Shaila. Rafi?
Because of that, I think you have to read this more as four different sayings, not as a four machlokas.
Correct. I don't think it's a machlokas. I think each one was identifying something that was probably in his locale.
Right.
And the Gemara does often give this is a type of an explanation where the Gemara uses geographical, we'll argue there's no machlokas, but it's geographically dependent. One of the classic example, I mean, sometimes the Gemara says Mar Kiasri, is the Gemara's formulation. You have a Mishnah, which actually, I think it's said in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah at the end of the seventh parak of Ksubos that talks about how a husband, if he is supporting his wife through a shalish, how much he has to provide. So they talk about a volume of chitim, a volume of seorim. And I think the Mishnah says, or the Gemara says, Lo pasach Rabbi Yishmael kiflai misorim ela shahaya samach le'edom. Rabbi Yishmael, who lived near, is in the south somewhere, near the Idumia, and the barley there was a very poor quality. That's why he doubled the amount in his apportionment. But it really wasn't the machlokes over how much barley she's supposed to get. So I think you may very well be correct in that. David, is there a comment? No? Okay.
Is Beit Kerem here a place, or that's just a vineyard?
Oh, I think it's a place. I think Beit Kerem is a place. Bikas Beit Kerem, like the others. Okay? Fine. So now you can skip down to Rechanina, who was a major expert in this area. Go ahead, Rabbi Chanina. He would peel back pieces of the dry ink. And he would, dirt. That is, he wouldn't mix it with water. He would look at it against the dirt, and he would be bodeh. Now, that's not the way it's prescribed. Why was he willing to do that? Because he had sufficient expertise in color to know what the dirt would look like if you poured water on top of it. And it's in response to that. Go ahead. Badik bay, and he would be bodek without actually using the water. Laitalei.
Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi.
Be'askara is an expression. What is lot in Aramaic?
To curse.
Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi would curse anybody who would do such a thing. I mean, aside from Rabbi Chanina, because people don't generally have enough bekias to be able to look at the dirt without the water and to envision what it would look like when you put the water on top of it. Okay, but askara is some form of sickness that often led to death. Right, it seems to be a problem, particularly with tinokos. The Gemara says they used to fast or something. Shlotipol askara b'tinokos. Okay. Well, he considered it extremely religiously irresponsible for someone to undertake that. Yes. It was up, of course, to God to choose whether or not to fulfill his curse. Okay. And why? Rabbi Chanina, who? Kulei Alma. Yeah. Lav kachimi hachi. Not everybody is so capable as Rabbi Chanina. You shouldn't be doing it. Amar. The Loachsi Dama. Rabbi Chanina's Harifus caused that I don't do maras. Why? Mitamina means. Good. Mitamina.
Mitar.
Mitar
na mitame.
What does that mean? Mitamina is what? If it's a contraction. Mitame ana. If I would declare something tame, he declare it tahar. If I declare it tahar, he would declare it tame. And obviously, Rabbi Yochanan threw up his hands in frustration. Okay. I don't want to say he probably wasn't colorblind. If he's colorblind, he never tried in the first place. But if you happen to suffer from colorblindness, you won't do maros. Even not just within red. Red is, I think, particularly one of the blind spots for people who have colorblindness. If a person has Rav has colorblindness, I know one person like this who knows Hilchas Nida quite well, but this is the one thing he cannot do. So you send your maros, you bring your maros to someone else. Okay. Continue. So Rabbi Lazar, who as you see was also quite an expert himself, he says the humility of Rabbi Chanina caused him that he did do maros. Why? The Anvesan who, he's very humble. He has the courage still, he has the gumption to place himself in the situation of looking at maros, which is very difficult, to be machriya sveikos, the chazi, ana, malachse. I certainly, I'm not as humble as he is. Okay. Amar. What is Tiva de Bavel? It means literally the nature of Bavel, the natural world of Bavel, and cause that I don't do Maris. Why? Bidana Yadana? Because he said, I don't even know, I'm not familiar with the basic, it sounds like workings of nature, and I'm going to be able to, I don't know science in the first place, the science of Bavel, and I'm going to be a bucky to be able to tell the difference in these colors? So the Gemara says, Lememra.
Lememra, Deva, Palya, Melta.
Yeah, does that mean that it all depends on whether or not you're a bucky in Teva? Vaha. Our Gers is Rabba. Rashi had the Gers of Rabba. But either way, Varabba. Rabba was a bucky in Teva, but he didn't do Maros. So the Gemara says, Ka'amar. No, it's a Kavachomer. Uma, that was this point. Uma, Rabba.
Uma,
Rabba, Ana, Ase. Rabba, at least, is a bucky in Teva, and he still went through Maros. I don't even know Teva. Certainly, I'm not going to do so. I'm not really sure exactly what this Teva is, but that's what it usually means. Okay. Yeah.
It occurs to me to do with the fact that like all the kinds of soil we listed were from Eretz Yisrael. And if you're in Bavel and you're not Baki in the kind of soil listed in the Gemara, then perhaps you wouldn't have a chance of getting Maros. Right?
That's a very interesting suggestion. Okay. It's possible. Good. Okay. Now, continue. So Ula, who did Maros, so he happened to visit Pumbedisa, and he refused to look at Maros. Why? Amar Uma. So Rabbi Lazar, who was the called quite a compliment, Mara da Ara di Israel. Okay. So he, when he came to Pumbedisa, where Yehuda was, he wasn't for him to answer Shilas there. That's another klal that one should learn as a someone who might pask in Shilas, that when you walk in someone else's town, you don't pask in the Shilas there. That's for the Mara D'Asra. Okay. So, so if he wouldn't, right? Now the Gemara wants to know if Amai. So there was a woman who brought blood in front of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Ami was sitting in front of him and witnessed it.
Okay.
Arche. What does that mean?
He smelled it.
Amar la. Hai dam chimud. Dam chimud is, I don't want to say quite mythical, but it's conceivable. Dam chimud is this notion that a woman who might experience very strong desire might lead to bleeding. It's why we have really just one halacha that recognizes dam chimud, and that is that a woman, if they set a wedding date, let's say she was in Arusa and Tavua Linase, or if they got engaged and set a wedding date, either way, the din is the same, but it's So the din is that they can't get married for at least 7 days. Because Rechoshesh said there was a tiny amount of bleeding, we would say from a biological perspective, driven from the emotional, deriving from the emotional high, and that might stimulate hormonal bleeding, and therefore she has to wait 7 days. Okay, because Rechoshesh v'dam chimer, even if she does a bedikah and finds none, we're afraid it was a tiny drop of blood and she wasn't able to find it. But even Psak Halacha recognizes the somewhat tenuous nature of Dam Chimud, and thus it does not require, this may not mean anything that much to you now, it does not require Hefsek Tara Dam Chimud. Okay, it's one major kula. I mean, again, it doesn't really matter today, but theoretically it's a major kula that you don't need to do a Hefsek Tara Dam Chimud. Yes?
It's going to be that, it's not that this is not the same thing or overlapping with that blood with the Beis Yosef when they're very excited and little drops. Right? Remember that they have the case in the Beis Yosef where they, when she got very excited and they were afraid that there was an incident. So.
Excited or?
Like scared, excited, like a very shocking.
Same type of idea. It's like about Tischalchal HaMalkoman. I'm trying, where in the Beis Yosef that we saw so far did we see it?
Yeah, it's with the animals attacking.
Yeah, the animals.
One of the first.
Well,
why am I forgetting about this? I feel like an idiot. Was it in Kupay Gimels? Anyway, just from what you're, I mean, it's not Haisa B'machave, because there the assumption of fear is Mesalik Damim. I mean, there's kaftza in Vestos, but that's hard just jumping up and down. That's more physical than... Well, I don't remember that there was... I didn't realize we mentioned that already. And there's also that she eats some very hot stuff or things like that also can cause... But those seem to be more physical reactions. But there is an idea about Tischalchal HaMalkama Od Malamed Shapir Sanida by Esther. And I don't remember... I don't know if we've actually seen that yet. Maybe we haven't. I don't remember where it is. But if that would be the same idea, that somehow that extreme emotions can, which on some levels it's not crazy from a biological perspective, in the sense that that bleeding is hormonally driven. Now I'm not sure it's the same hormones that, you know, but anyway, okay. So basically, Reb Lazar smells it and he says it's dam chimud, and then what happens? After she left, Rav Ami followed her. And she said to him, Amarlei, in fact, what he said was correct. My husband was on the way here, and I had a very particular taiva, and then I discovered this bleeding. So what happens? Kari Alei, he said about Rabbi Lazar, Sod Hashem li Re'av. Okay, fine. This is a very interesting pasuk that's used in a number of very, very interesting contexts, and I'll leave it at that. Now, one very interesting thing here, he smelled it and identified it. Why does that make him Mara the Ara de Israel? I presume it just because it means he's the Bucky in Eretz Israel. However, does this idea that he smelled it bring to mind any Agada that you're aware of? What?
Sure.
What?
Agada in Chela.
About?
About Mashiach.
Oh, Vaharichobi Yiras Hashem. I wasn't even thinking of that. I'm thinking of something much closer, and it even relates to Mara Darsel. That's very good, Paderman. I forgot about that. Vaharichobi Yiras Hashem. Okay, that it almost smells, forgive the pun, of the Ramban's Hakdama to the Torah, where he talks about, you know, that the person who's really in contact, who can look at someone, you know, he quotes in the Hechalot literature, you know, Gana Adam Yodeo Makirbo. You know, I forget, what do they call that? Physiognomy. Right, you can look at the person and see, you know, from the features exactly what he's done. So there is sort of this stream of thought. Smell probably actually, both of those are not as crazy as they sound. I know they sound crazy, but anyway, I'm thinking of something even much closer to this, okay? Which is, Rashi doesn't quote the whole thing in Chumash. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pehei. Eilevin Eiseir HaChori Yoshevei HaAretz. Why were they called Yoshevei HaAretz? So the answer is that they were Bekiim in agriculture. Now Rashi only quotes one version, not the initial thing the Gemara states, is that the Chori, they could taste a piece of dirt from the, and tell you what you should plant in that particular land. The Gemara in Shabbos, before quoting that in the name of Rapapa, and that's related to the alternate form, Chivi, like a snake that eats dirt. Instead, HaChori is that they would smell the dirt and tell you what to plant in it. And that's from a metathesis of Chori, Rashi says, Reach. So anyway, that idea, And I don't know, you have to find out how farmers can look at a piece of land and even maybe may have a greater, maybe more attuned, in fact, to the physical properties of these things. So that strikes me as very, very similar, that he's the Mara the Ara the Yisrael, like the Yoshev HaAretz, and he smells this like the Chori could smell the land and know exactly what to plant in it. Okay, anyway, so this story now is followed by a fascinating story, which is... has somebody prepared, seen this yet? Mark, go ahead. You're a designated Persian man anyway.
Okay.
Mark's Sephardic roots are not from Persia, but he has an interest in this particular element of Nida. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so here you have, and Rashi doesn't know this. Rashi wants to know why is this seemingly Gentile woman sending her her stains to this rabbi. Rashi writes, Nachos Hoysa, V'chein Shema, V'afal Pikein Hoysa, M'shameres Atzma, Minidu Sukrovelis Gayer. Okay. I can't rule that possibility out, but the greater possibility is that there were two groups of individuals in Bavel who were makbid on the laws of Nida, Druze and Zoroastrians. Okay, and she is the queen mother. What?
Why would she come to the Jews then?
Maybe she... Well, that's an interesting question. In the context of the shear room, so my answer to that question might be because maybe Rava was available, maybe because she wanted to test him, maybe because she thought he was a bucky. In the library, you have to ask the question whether the story is historical or polemical. That it may be possible as well. That would be really funny if that were the case, right? We're not the only ones who were shopping for kulas. Okay. Every shade, right? No, that right. So she.
Is that her name? Is Hormiz?
I believe so.
Isn't Hormiz the name of a shade that appears?
It might also be, but I think there is actually a name very close to this that we know.
I don't know if they have this exact
name. But it fits. So she sent Dam to Rava. Rashi is bothered by the fact that Rava earlier wasn't Roa Dam. We have the Girsa Rabbah earlier, that solves the problem. Okay, Rashi says an ace happened to him. Tabalei HaTosfos didn't like that. They say this is Rava. Okay, so she sent Rava, probably also from a historical perspective, is much more likely to be Rava. Go ahead. Okay, so he was doing the same smelling trick. Okay. Amralei Librei. She says to her son, the king. Okay, see how smart these Jews are. Probably, that's what the correction is. Yes, okay. Amar Lei, our son says. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know what the metaphor is exactly, but I have an idea what it means.
Blind man by a window?
Well, I think it means like it was a lucky guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, I would say our equivalent is more like pin the tail on the donkey and you happen to hit the donkey. Okay. Yes. Yeah, no, okay. I understand. I know what the word means. I just don't know what, and I don't quite understand the metaphor.
Right.
Okay.
If a Avobayin in modern Hebrew is a chimney, right? So a blind man in a chimney is going to find his wife.
Aruba doesn't, this is not modern Hebrew here. And that would undermine the point anyway of the metaphor. No, is there a metaphor in modern Hebrew? Kesuma varuba. Okay, fine. So hadar. So okay, she's got to test him now. Hadar. She sent 60 samples. Vekulhu, and he identified everyone correctly. Okay, except for one, which he didn't know what it was. Apparently, it was louse blood. This is going to come up in Ksamim, Macholas, right? Apparently, it was dam from a Macholas, which is one of the things we're told that Kesem on. So he sent her that one, and he didn't know, but he sent 50, must have sent 59 answers, and it was a Siyata Deshmaya that he sent a gift as well. What was the gift? Istayem Milsa Ushidar La. Kalme is the Targum of Kinim. He sent her a delousing comb. So that was just a present, but she took it to mean 59 answers, and the 60th was from a macholas.
That's a present?
Apparently so. Said, it would be like today if I give you a subscription to get rid of your bed bugs. Okay?
They were very disgusted by lice.
Was that true?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it was a nice present. I don't recommend on a date that when you bring out a present that you get your girlfriend the comb. However, certainly not a louse comb. That would really be sending the wrong message. However, apparently in those days, it was a perfectly appropriate gift. And in this case, with Siyata Deshmaya, it saved Rava from getting number 60 wrong. Okay, Ellie?
Well, nowadays we give like perfume soaps and whatnot. It isn't a sign that you smell. It's just it's a gift.
Okay. I still would not make that one of your early gifts, you know. Okay. I don't know. You know, when you're dating, it might send the wrong message. I don't know. Okay. Fine. Besides, that's perfume soaps, right? If you gave her a regular bar of soap, you would be ice girlfriend, as they say. All right, let's go. Come on. So, Umra, what did she say? Okay, they are sort of occupy the innermost chambers of their hearts. They're really smart. Okay. Umra, Rav Yehuda. Go ahead. I used to do maros. Then, I'm not sure what that means. Is that not his wife? Okay, and the mother of my son Yitzchak? Unless he married twice. And he, okay. She would not bring the first drop of blood in her bleeding because it was somehow filthy. It was, I don't know if it means it was mixed with other stuff, mixed with mucus or something like that. I don't know. It is the case, the cervix is usually plugged up with mucus. There's a mucus plug typically, and one of the things that happens at the onset of menstruation or before the onset of menstruation is that mucus begins to thin. So that the menstrual blood can get through. So I can imagine maybe that's what she means by this. I don't know. So she wouldn't bring the first drop of blood, and therefore, once she told me that lo chazina. Go ahead. Right, the lo chazina, he would no longer do regular maros, because he's afraid that maybe this dam was different than the first drop of blood, and he couldn't extrapolate from the first drop what the earlier drop of blood would have been. So even if the second drop that she brought was tahora, he'd be afraid, again, I don't know if second drop, second day, you know, he couldn't extrapolate, therefore he was no longer roa dam. Okay, but bein tmeya le tahora, vadai chazina. That means bein tam tohar to the dam that follows after the period of dam tohar, that he had no qualms about, because it wasn't the bleeding of dam tohar was sort of continuous, and therefore it wasn't the initial bleeding, and that he had no problems determining whether it's tamei tohar. Okay, fine. Now we get to a very important story. Yalta. Who was Yalta? And you know why that's really important? Firstly, rule number one: never mess with Yalta. Okay, that's a rule. She was a powerful woman. What's that?
She
wanted to know what the equivalent of Basar B'chalav of Heter was. Yes, that's Yalta as well. She's also the one when Rav Nachman failed her to send the kosher bracha, she smashed 400 barrels of wine over the insult. That's why I never messed with Yalta. However, Yalta was also the daughter of the Reish Galusa, because Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. So Yalta here had a shayla. Now, what's really interesting is to whom did she not bring the shayla? She didn't bring it to her husband. And Tosus talks about why, but that's actually very important halacha l'maisa. Because one might have argued that is a person allowed, if a person is baki maros, can he do the maros of his wife? And the answer is yes. That's the way we paskin. And Tosus brings the raya that from the mission and the Gaim, the kol and the Gaim adam roa chutz minigei atzma, which is one of the greatest double entendres Chazal ever uttered. It means a person, a kohen, is allowed to inspect all nigayim, nigay tzaras, except for those in his own body. But it's obviously, everybody knows the expression, kol ha-nigayim adam roa chutz minigay atzma. People can see everybody's faults except for their own. But really, the original expression is from the Mishnah in the Gaim, which is literally kol ha-nigayim adam roa, but it's a great double entendre anyway. So that's Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir says you can't look in the Gomik program, you know, Pascha in that way. There are a couple other examples, but the bottom line is there's no limitation on seeing, you know, Dam Shalachar. And we don't even assume that a woman, if she was sufficiently Bekiah, it's not. It's pretty clear also on some level, of course women do Maros. You know, women do Maros all the time. They do Maros because not a woman, women are trained. A woman who showed a Mara to the Rav, and she showed the same Mara to the Rav 10 times, so I'm sure there are some women who will keep bringing them back to the Rav, but there are many women who will look at it and say, I know exactly what this looks like, it's not a Shaila. Anyway, Sitosis assumes that that Adam is Roa Maros Ishto, if he's Baki in Maros. Okay, but it's interesting that Yalta did not bring this to Rav Nachman. So what did she do here? I see the Ma. She brought the Rav of Arachana, and he declared it Tame. Okay, so then she does in a classic modern Orthodox move. I don't like the first answer I got. Okay, I say that a little tongue-in-cheek. This is actually not something that's fundamentally limited to. This is Aldrich's. The only thing is that those who know the halacha, that once you ask the shayla, you're not supposed to get another shayla, so they're clever and try to make sure who they ask the shayla to first. That's up there with those who come and say, I'm not asking this as a shayla. Usually my response is, well, I'm not giving you an answer then. I often tell people that, this is my opinion, but you can go ask someone else the shayla if they might think differently. But I generally tend not to answer people when they say, but I'm not asking this as a shayla. Okay, that's insulting. So Yalta came and double asked. So the Gemara immediately, and he was Mitaher. So the Gemara immediately asked the question, V'hechi Avid Hachi. Okay, so two observations should be made here. Number one, if you actually look at this original Brisa, I believe this is not what the Brisa actually says. If you look in the parallels, in the Masoras HaShas, I get to say this once a year. If you look in the Masoras HaShas, he says that Chulin Memdal Amid Beis Avod Zera Zayin Amid Aleph Ayin Sham Brachos Amid Gilman Beis. I know most of you didn't get this far in the Gemara, but when you read the Masoras HaShas like this, what are you supposed to do? Well, right. So you're always supposed to look up parallels, but in particular, when he says Ayin Sham, he says Ayin Sham for a reason. He wasn't being paid by the letter or the word, and therefore. When he writes Ayin Shem, he does so because this is a specific reason, because when you look in that Gemara, you're going to find the difference. And when you look in that Gemara, what you're going to see, and it's the original Brisa, it's the Tosefta and Adios, is that a person is not allowed to, if initial lachacham v'asar, lo yishal lachacham acher lahatir. Right? You're not allowed, in other words, it's not on the chacham paskening, it's on the answer, it's on the asker asking. That is very significant, along with the second question, which is, what happens if the Chacham tells you that it's mutter? Are you allowed to ask another Chacham to see if you can get a psak le'isser? Believe it or not, I think al pi pshat, the reason why the Gemara is formulated this way is because normal people don't do that. Normal people ask a shayla, and if they're told yes, they accept it. They don't go looking for someone who's going to aser for them. But we live today in an age that's not entirely normal. So in some contexts, on very selective shaylas, there are people who will ask a shayla, be told it's mutter, and nonetheless, they'll go and ask a shayla again, hoping to find someone who will aser. Now, whether one is allowed to do that is dependent upon why you're not allowed to ask a second time. And the question is, who is the restriction really upon? And Tosas here, which we're not going to talk about, but I'm just whetting your appetite, you can read it on your own, at Gemare Samach, Tosas here, there are really two completely different approaches to dealing with the issues of the sugya here in Avodah Zarah. One's in Tosas Avodah Zarah, and one is in Tosas here. You can read them. However, it is a very interesting question. I will tell you that there are the two manuscripts that we have, the Tosefta and Adios. One of them explicitly doubles the language and says that you're not allowed to ask a shayla if you got a heter. Okay, you're not allowed to ask a shayla to get an issur. Of course, there's another reason why you might not ask another shayla, because even if you got a heter, who says you have to follow it? Okay. Anyway, but today we live in a world that's a little different than the world that Chazal lived in. So, okay. Next. So the Gemara says, how could she have done that? So now the Gemara says, you know what? Go ahead. What happened, actually? Meikara. Originally he was metame, why? Because he wasn't willing to overturn Rabba Bar Chana's psa, because that's the rule, you're not allowed to.
Then what happened? Okay, so when she said to him, you know what, he told me Tame, but the reason I'm coming to ask you is because every day I used to show, I've shown him many times the very same fed colors, and he's been metired. And the reason why I'm sure that he's metame it is because his eyes, he was having problems with his eyes today. You know, he must have been complaining, fetching about his eyes. And therefore, I think he just made an error, but I want to make sure. And then Rav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda said, yes, it's Tahar. And in that case, why was he allowed to be metaher? So the answer is that if a chacham is toa b'dvar mishnah, or maybe even toa b'shikol adas, where it's clear what the maskana of the sugya is, who he paskin like, and certainly when he makes a mistake in metzias, just because his eyes were hurting him, so the other chacham is not bound to not issue a correct psak in that case. Okay, in a certain sense, we might say that a psak that's truly b'taos is simply not a psak halacha. And in this case, it's just an error based upon his physical frailty at the time. Okay, now the Gemara says, Umi. Is Nyaltam Nemenis to say that? So the answer is, she is, Vahatanya, and the proof is. A woman is believed to say that I saw, in other words, that the Chacham pulls out his color chart. Let's say she doesn't have the Mara. Let's say the Mara got lost. She can pull out the Mara. She can look at the chart and say, that's what I saw. Kazera Isi Vavadtiv, and she's Nemenis, and we paskin based upon that.
What is this referring to?
Maros. If a woman says, the Chacham, I said, I lost the big cloth, but it was like this, and she points, it was that color red, the Chacham will believe her and say, well, if you saw that color red, it's Tahar. Okay. We believe her. Okay. Now, actually, the truth be told, these two cases are not identical. What she said and what the Brisa says, and you'll see that comes up in the continuation of the Gemara in a moment. Rafi?
Yeah, I was going to say that, because we don't assume, I don't think, that a woman is an expert when it comes to determining which exact color of blood is Tamei, which is Tahar. So her choosing a color cannot necessarily be a premeditated decision or a ulterior motive.
No, but that's a question. You're asking the question even on the Brisa.
Well, no, I'm not asking a question on the Brisa. That's exactly why she should be believed, because we don't think she would have alternative.
No, evidence. We don't think she's going to lie. The concern is failure of expertise. We're concerned is over error, yes.
I'm realizing which color it is?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she saw a color. She doesn't have it in front of anymore. The Chacham shows the same. She says, oh, I think it's that.
Fine, but beyond
I mean, that, imagine like lineups.
Right.
You know, police lineups. Exactly. So, you know, it's prone to error, but nonetheless, if she says, this is what I believe I saw, that's how we're machriya. That's how psak works.
Beyond that, its applicability to this case, then, is also tenuous.
To Rav Nachman the Yalta case.
Yeah.
Why?
Because in the Brisa, she doesn't know what her decision will effectuate.
Okay, that is true, but there's even something more. The Gemara points out a more fundamental difference between the Brisa and the Yalta case, which is, in one case, we have no choice but to rely upon her. We don't have the Mara Dam in front of us that she saw. And therefore, the only choice we have is to believe her. As we're still not assuming she's lying, so, but less braver, we believe her. But here, we have the Mara Dam in front of us. Who cares whether or not Rabba Bar Chana is mitamei every day, and just today had bad eyes? Who cares? In other words, to paskin ourselves, don't rely upon her. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to deal with that in a moment. But now the Gemara asks the question. Go ahead, Mark. Ibai lehu. So the question is a woman nemenis to say, show a stain and then tell this chacham that ploni, tier ish ploni chacham, right? This person was metayer this color. So the Gemara says, Toshma. No, first one. Nemenis ishalomar. Read it again.
Okay.
So you see, she is believed. So the answer is no. Why? We don't have that case. We don't know what she saw, so we have no choice but to rely upon her. Okay, Tashma.
Tashma.
So this is, right now it's just repeating the sugya earlier. Vatanya, chacham, v'chule, v'amrina. Now the Gemara makes clear that they're quoting the earlier sugya. V'amrina, and we said, but kevan da amrale, so Alma, you see that she was believed. In other words, why did he believe? In other words, basically, what she was saying is that every day Rabbah Bar Chana would be mitayer this mara for me. And it's only today that his eyes were hurting. We believed her. We believed her. In other words, it would be no different if she hadn't gone and asked Rabbah Bar Chana. If she brought this mara in front of us and she said, Rabbah Bar Chana is regularly mitayer this for me, but he's not here today. So you see that she's believed. So the Gemara says, nope, not true. What's the answer of the Gemara? Agmarei Samach. No, he wasn't relying upon Yalta's report of what Rabbah Bar Chana was knowing Metaher for the purposes of deciding that this is in fact a Marei Tahar. He believed her that basically Rabbah Bar, he looked at this Mara and it looked Tahar to him. He was Samech upon his Gemara, his tradition, literally, that's what it means. Agmarei Samech. But he still was not willing to be Metaher. Why? Because Rabbah Bar Chana had already ruled Chacham Shetime in Chavei Rashai the Taher. Once she told him that no, his eyes were hurting him today, so it was no longer a question of. Then he said, oh, it makes sense, of course. That's why he said Tameh, even though I know that this color is Tahar, because he just wasn't seeing well. Then it's no longer Nishalacha, you know, that Mishach, you know, Tier Chacham Shetime in Chavei Rashai the Taher. Now it's just a toast, because Rabbah Bar Chana's eyes were hurting him. So he wasn't relying upon her for the Maros, he was relying upon her, just she provided him with the information as to why it didn't create a problem of his repaskening the Shaila. Okay, so the truth is you don't know for sure, but that's where the sugya stands right now, and that's where the Gemara leaves it. So that's why you're going to see, when you do Kuf Pei Ches, that a woman is nemenes on a mara if she lost it to say what it looked like, but she's not nemenes to say, Kizeh tir li ploni chacham. Hanan?
But if the only reason he said that it was Tamei originally, it seems strange that he would give up Sakha Laha, that saying that's Tamei, if the only reason is because of the earlier Pesach. Wouldn't he just withhold the Pesach?
Well, I think that's what the Gemara means. When Metame lo, he's basically said, I can't help you. You know, it's Tame, because he said it's Tame. It doesn't mean Tame, Metame lo doesn't mean that doesn't tell you why he was a Metame. Right? It just tells you, again, and when the Gemara, remember, this doesn't even appear in the original statement. It's the Gemara, when the Gemara says that initially he was Metamela, clearly the Gemara means that he was Metamela because he didn't want to overturn Rabbah Bar Chana's ruling. Okay. Go ahead, continue, just a little bit more. Rebbe. Okay, so what had happened? Rebbe Amara came to him at night. Apparently, he looked at it at night. We'll talk about that, comes up more later. It can be Bodekla or Haner at night. You have to ask, you know, Poskim what type of light they recommend using, because you know that there are different colors of light, you know, incandescent versus fluorescent. But Rebbe would be Roadam at night. Presumably, it wasn't fluorescent light. Okay. So he looked at night, he was Metame. In the morning, he looked at it, he said it's Tahar. An hour later, he looked at it and said it's Tame. So Amar finally says, Oili. Maybe I made an error. So the Gemara says, he certainly made a mistake. Why? So you don't say that if something were lach, it definitely would have been tame, but now that it's dry, it only looks tar. That's not the way it works. But rather, what's the principle? No. Basically, of course he was wrong. He should have stuck with his original psach, because ein l'dayan alamasha ein afroos. Okay, so now the Gemara explains, no, what happened? Meikara. Initially, at night, he treated his tummy. Kevan. He saw that it looked different in the morning, so what did he say? So he says, no, it really was tahar. Not that now it's tahar because it's changed and I have to wait, but rather it was tahar. Uvalayla. Is at night, I just couldn't see well. In other words, it's the same thing as when it's night, but now I can see clearly, and it's a Mare Tahar. But then, Kevan. But when he saw that as the day wore on, the color continued to change. Or something like that. In other words, Rebbe said, originally he thought that the fact that he was metame at night was because he didn't see well. Once he saw that the dam was continuing still to change colors and get lighter red, he realized that no, it had been tame at night. He had seen correctly and he had ruled correctly, and that was the first time he saw it, and that's the basis of the ruling. And it's just the reason why it looked duller in the morning wasn't because the light at night, but was because it actually had changed. Therefore, he ruled in accordance with what the blood looked like when he first saw it. Okay? Rebbe. He would use an error even at night. I assume that's at night. Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yosei. He wasn't so concerned about the light, even on a cloudy day, Bein Amud day, where he didn't feel like getting up from his seat in the Beis Medrash. So base, that's where he used to learn. So therefore, he basically would just look at it there. Okay. Amar Rav Ami. He says you have to be bodek between the sun and the shade. What does that mean? Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Barahua. Okay, basically it should be in sunlight, but you shade the mare with your hand, so it's not direct sunlight. That's what it sounds like. And when we have the chance to get someone who actually to talk a little about just practice in maros, so I assume we can ask the question exactly how they do it in terms of the light. Okay. So this is the end of the first half of Siman Kuf Peches, and you should be equipped to deal with the Beis Yosef. Tomorrow I think what we'll do is we'll actually go do Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch on the first part of Kuf Peches up until Roa Dam B'Shvul Feres. And then next week, Sunday, we will, God willing, start Mikvos, and I will also introduce perhaps a tour, do the introduction of the tour. And then Monday, we will start doing the Gemara. It's really literally the next sugya. It's the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph that begins the next parak until the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. I'll give you more exact guidance, and that will be Roa Dam B'Shvul Feres and Chaticha Sheishim Adam, which is the second half of Siman Kuf Peches.